and still gets very involved. So you may have heard her talk to you before. But if for those that haven't, I'm going to start as if you don't know anything, because I think that'll be easier. Thank you very much for inviting us to come and talk to you, because you do support us. We do have volunteers from the Network Church as well, so it's really great to be able to tell you, actually, your support is having quite an impact on the people that come to our service. We are award-winning this year. We were awarded with the Centre for Social Justice Resilience Award, which is... There's only 5 awards given out a year. We were amazed to have won it. We've been shortlisted before, haven't we? But this year we went to a very grand ceremony with lots and lots of politicians and things in the room. It was very, very glitzy. But the point of it is just to say that we now can say we are award-winning. We've had awards in the past, but this is about real people. And 90% of the people who work for us actually have been impacted by addiction. Now, it may not have been themselves, although all our counsellors have had an addiction, but all of the staff will also have been family members of somebody who have suffered from an addiction. So everybody has personal experience, and of those 10% that haven't had a personal experience, they have been impacted in the community, which is why they wanted to come work for us, because that's one of the reasons we want people who actually understand addiction to come and work with us, but they don't necessarily have had to experience it. So we support adults, so anybody over 18, and the oldest person who has accessed our service is 74. Although we were very willing for somebody older who feels it's time that they sought help, but just to let you know, we've worked with 18, usually 19. We don't have many 18-year-olds up to the age of 74. Our average age is between 30 and 50. That's where we have the bulk of people who come and seek help from us. But we like to think that we're actually helping to break the generational cycle of addiction, because people with an addiction will have an impact on very many people around them. So they may be the ones suffering, but actually the family members will also suffer too, their wider network, children. And it's a really hard statistic to swallow, but if you or somebody in your family suffers from addiction, the children that are in that family have a 5 times higher chance of suffering an addiction themselves. So, you know, the work we do has a massive impact, not on just today, on that person, but also the generations to follow. So, next one. So we're in Stevenage and St Albans. We've got 2 bases there. We also have an outreach program where we work with some women's refuges. I always get that word wrong. But recycling's good. So we do at the moment have presence in Stevenage and St Albans. Oh, you can't see our pictures. You'll get there. Okay. We do group therapy. So we are providing a day service, which is free. We are looking to provide services out of hours for a small cost, because the money doesn't go very far. But we do group therapy. And we use the 12-step program, which I'll tell you a little bit more about. And the strength of it is the peer support that you get from the group therapy. And I know that Vince is going to talk more about that. We have trained counsellors such as Carl. Carl is our manager in Stevenage and leads up our counselling team in Stevenage. And we have your counterpart, Debbie, who supports her team in St Albans. Last year, we supported 447 people, which is huge. And, you know, think about the ripple effect, times that by 5, you know, because the average person has 5 close members. So that is a huge number, and I'm very proud of the teams for doing that. It's amazing. And Vince is one of our clients. He didn't mind me telling you that he has been with us for a while, and he's just about to graduate. So, you know, well done to Vince, and he's going to tell you his story, which I think is really good to hear a real personal story. And the good news is we are just about to move into Watford. So, very excitingly, a lot of hard work, but very excitingly, we have been awarded the Hertfordshire County Council's contract for drugs and alcohol community rehabilitation from 2019 to 2026. Whoa. For drugs and alcohol. So we actually support all addictions. We haven't gone any further, so I'm just going to carry on. Is that all right? Yeah. Do you know what people can suffer from as an addiction? Can you give me some, you know, shout some out?
Anything.
Yeah, anything is good. Can you be a little bit more specific and give me some?
It's not only alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
It's pornography.
Yeah.
It's all sorts of different things.
Absolutely. So, great. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, more?
Yeah.
Gambling, yeah, absolutely. Gambling's been one that's been raised up the ranks of people's interest, and they're talking more about that, which is really, really good for us. We've seen an increase, haven't we, in people seeking help for gambling, which is really good for us. Any more? Sorry?
Shopping,
absolutely. That is one that has never really been seen as, you know, as a big issue, but actually that is exactly the same outcomes be that you're using shopping to comfort you. Yeah.
Somebody shouted out relationships. Yeah, was it you in the back there?
Okay, yeah.
So I think for me as well, you know, we have all these different addictions, you know, like shoplifting, gambling, pornography. But for me, in my lived experience, it's always about relationship that underpins all of our behaviours. So it's whether it's the relationship that we have with ourselves or relationships that we have with maybe family or you know, friends in a larger circle. It's always about relationship. So yeah, for me that underpins pretty much everyone's addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. And we call a lot of our relationship groups called Love and Sex. So you know, you can be addicted to sex addiction, also love addiction. Okay, any more? Any more suggestions?
Hoarding,
absolutely. People say OCD, obsessive compulsive disorders, hoarding. They're very similar in that way. But yeah, absolutely.
Social media.
Okay. So being online excessively. So we will use that as one. That is a growing one. And to go with that is also gaming. The World Health Authority this year recognised gaming as an addiction. Yeah. Any more? I would say it comes down to the love and sex, so the obsession is around the love and sex and relationships. Okay, any more?
Exercise.
Excellent, well done. That is one that's growing. We have actually got somebody in one of our centres now who's just about to graduate, and she had a gym addiction. Yeah. Any more?
Work.
Who said that? Work addiction. Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably one that we see less people come to get help for because they're working. I know. but yes, work addiction.
Someone said food as well.
Food, thank you.
And I think, you know, a lot of people come and say maybe someone will present with cocaine addiction. They'll join the service, they'll put down their cocaine, but what happens, cross addiction can quickly take over. So food may become an issue. Gym might become an issue. So just
yeah.
It's like you put it down, that comes up. So it's a constant, you know, day-to-day experience of trying to maintain and recover all of our behaviours.
Do people come to you once they've come off their addiction?
People will come through the door they're using.
Yeah,
they use it. They may have to use it in the morning, or they may have to use that in the morning. They come to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a rule that we are abstinence-based. So, but it can be from day one. So as long as you've decided that you're going to give up your drug of choice, then you can come and access the service. We do work with people who have drugs and alcohol who it's not just as easy, and actually it can be harmful to their health to just stop. We work with them. But it is a planned program of aiming towards abstinence. So we had... Also, something that you didn't mention was there's an increase, I would say, over the last 5 years of people actually getting support for painkiller addiction, so over the counter, which, you know, people need painkillers because they have something wrong with them, they have an illness, they have pain, so they take painkillers, and actually it becomes something that they can't take themselves off, or they have a need to increase because the pain suddenly gets through the medication, and doctors are perhaps not managing it in a very good way, or it's the person's actually hiding it and saying, no, the pain's bad, I need more. We have somebody who he's now graduated, he's been clean for 3-4 years, and he used to do the rounds of Hertfordshire. He had a route actually planned about where he could go to pick up over-the-counter painkillers all around Hertfordshire. And it would be his job was to just go and get more and more painkillers. And the reason why he chose a route was so that they didn't actually get alerted to the fact that he was going to get painkillers and then more painkillers. So he'd have a really clear route of how we would do it. Because addiction can create... It becomes a job. You know, you have to manage it on a daily basis, which is why we work with people to actually say, getting abstinence, staying clean, being in recovery, that is also a full-time job. You know, take this seriously, because you can't actually step from where you are to where you want to be without having the training and the support to get you there. Okay. Oh, there we are. Don't worry about it. I'll just talk. It really doesn't matter. So, also we use 12 steps. Is anyone familiar with the 12 steps? Have you heard of the 12 steps? Yeah, heard of it. Okay, so Alcoholics Anonymous created the 12 steps. It's 30, 40 years. It might even be longer. Yeah, but the 12 steps can be applied to all addictions, and that's what we do at the living room. I did have a really pretty slide to show you what the 12 steps were, but we very much look at the first 4 steps, which are we admitted we were powerless over, this. In this case it's alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the rest of the steps, it may be worth having a look if you're interested, is that it's about, saying that I'm going to give myself over to this and I'm going to admit it and I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing, but actually look at how can I give back to other people, how can I be more involved in the community. And we are very much a community resource, and we like to come and see people, and we like to go and talk to people, and that's why we've come to join you today. Thank you for the invitation, Louise, but you know, we were more than willing. And when you look at addiction, we say the opposite of addiction is connection, because addiction, actually, you usually in the throes of addiction, you isolate due to trauma, due to stigma, due to people wanting to tell you not to do it, just stop. So the opposite of addiction is connection, and that's a relationship in which a personal thing is linked or associated with something else. and the action of linking one thing with another. So we work with peer support and we work in groups, so you have that connection. But we also encourage people to build up their own new networks that are positive. Do you want to add anything else to that? I'm just going to tell you some of the impact that we've had in Hertfordshire. 61% of people who attended our service have achieved long-term recovery from their addiction, and that is fantastic. 61% may not sound a lot, but when you compare it to nationally, it's 37%. We have made, you know, more than twice. So we, you know, less than twice, my math is terrible. But but anybody that we support, that one person we support is fantastic. So 61% have achieved long-term recovery. So they come to us abstinent. They may stay with us for an average of 10 months where they attend 3, 4, or 5 days a week. Yeah? Yeah? Minimum is 3. Yeah. Also, 81 people last year were supported who were family or carers of those with an addiction. So we don't just support those people with an addiction, we also support their family and carers. Which sometimes it could be that it stops the enabling behaviour of the person with an addiction. It takes £2,945 per person in that year. That's how much it costs for one person. It costs £2,200 a day to stay open. And we are cheap. You know, we are cheap. If you look at sending somebody for detox for 1 week, it's around £5,000. So we are cheap, but we are really, really good. And, you know, I am amazed what the staff are able to achieve. You know, they're not particularly well paid, but I tell you what, they've got a lot of passion and a lot of belief that this is the way it works. But it may cost £2,945 for a person to achieve recovery, but actually the social savings that has been estimated, we save £5,272 in social savings per person. So it's an investment that's worth making. And we work holistically, so we don't just work with the addiction, we also work and support people with the issues that have arisen because of their addiction. So we help with relationships, we help with mental health, we work with people's well-being, their housing if they've become homeless, and also their health. We have an eating disorders group, and we were delighted this week we heard, and I'm so pleased that we've received funding to open up in Stevenage an eating disorders group. We've continued the eating disorders group in St Albans, but we lost funding for the Stevenage one. This week we received 3 years of funding because people who have an addiction also don't look after the way they eat and the way they are looking after their own bodies. So we are able to look at eating disorders permanently for three years, and I'm delighted about that because it's a holistic support. It's not just about the addiction. And we believe at the Living Room that everyone has potential and a life worth living. So I hope that that's been helpful. I want to hand over to Vince, but is there anybody that's got any questions for me before I pass over to Vince? No? Oh, hello.
Access your services, but do you cater? well as cater for working people? So evenings and weekends?
Right, so firstly, people with work addiction are less likely to come and ask for support. We are looking to open out of hours to enable that to happen. That's kind of in our business plan going forward, because we are a day service. So at the moment, we don't have anything. But looking to the future, and as part of our new contract, we will have a helpline set up so somebody can talk over the telephone. And we also are looking to have evening sessions. So, yeah, that is something we want to work towards. But I would say we have very few people coming to us with a work addiction. In fact, I think there's been one in the whole time I've been at the living room. So the people are less likely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely not, no. When I say 61%, that's long-term recovery. That is away from their addiction, yeah, completely. And it has to be a minimum of 6 months to say long-term. But it's not until they graduate from us. So if they've been with us for 2 years and then we wait 6 months, so it's 2 years, 6 months is the measurement. Absolutely they are. And when we won the award for social resilience, the CEO from the Centre for Social Justice actually went on TV and quoted our results. So I was very proud of that. So yeah, because they are very impressive and they are very good, but that's because it's really is working. You know, it's really good because it's about connecting people again, not just working on somebody in isolation, not thinking about their network and the support network they need. Any other ones? Yeah. That's right, yeah. So we have around 15 up to 22 per group. We also have satellite groups that go off that might be specific to a certain drug or to a certain issue. For example, eating disorders has its own group. But because we work on the root cause and we don't separate out the addiction itself, because it's all very similar, isn't it? You know, the reasons why people pick up a certain drug is probably exactly the same as the person who's picked up a different drug. So, yeah, we have about... It depends on the size of the group. The time of the year is also quite a factor. In the summer, our numbers goes down slightly. Straight after Christmas, they shoot up. Yeah. So we have to be quite resilient and cope with that. Just recently, we had a lot of people who graduated, so you'd think our numbers would drop, but actually they didn't. They stayed the same because we had a lot of people come in at the same time. Okay, so are you happy for me to pass over to Vince now? Okay, Vince.